This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
What's trending?
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. This is What's Trending on Codeine Gold. Mac Morey in for Alex Gold. Drew Nixon in for Cody Tapp and himself. He's producing and hosting. Double duty over there. Presented by Baker University. What's Trending is where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. All right, man. So last night was actually a fun night in college basketball. This week, it kind of feels like the last week that college basketball matters till March, at least for me. I don't know about you.
You're zoned in at least for like the next couple of days, and then you're back after like the invitationals and everything.
Exactly. Exactly. Done. Because last night was fun, man. Kansas beating Duke 75-72.
That was a good one.
It's a good one, dude. Cooper Flagg, the Hunter Dickinson debacle last night. It was a lot. I mean, Knipple 0-for-8 from 3. The freshman for Duke.
Yep.
Could not get one from the perimeter. So Kansas top and Duke 75-72. You say they're the best team?
I would say I think KU's good. College basketball, though, is in a really good spot where a lot of people could beat anybody. And that's the way it kind of always is in March Madness. But there's some teams that are flying up. The top 25, like my Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh.
The best team that nobody talks about. And then there's other teams that, like Arizona, who started out really high and then are falling apart because they can't play defense. And Caleb Love is, if he's not scoring, he's zoned out. KU, though, very, very good early on.
Very good and very deep. I mean,
stole my guy AJ Storr.
Going the last 6 or 7 minutes of that game without Dickinson, who is their best player.
To win the game that was a very impressive win.
It was.
Number two on What's Trending. Cody said if Juan Soto went to the Dodgers, baseball's broken. How about Blake Snell?
Boo. Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah, it's broken.
I love Blake Snell. But anybody but the Dodgers. He could have anybody but the Dodgers. $182 million, I think, over 5 years. Deferred money, once again, reportedly. Just like Shohei's contract, that's why they can afford to do it. The whole deferred money thing is the biggest problem in that sport, actually, right now. I think it's turned into the biggest problem. Like, you cannot. This whole deferred money BS is stupid. It's so stupid. The Dodgers, once again, are going to be World Series favorites, and if they don't make it, then it's very. If they don't win it, it's disappointing. Forget making it. That's the expectation, is for them to win the thing.
No, for the win the damn thing. And they're not done yet either, Drew. They can keep going.
Of course not. They can defer money to Juan Soto
exactly.
As well.
Exactly.
I think they said that Snell was making $5 million this year. Out of the $182 million, he's making $5 million this year. Come on now.
The sport's broken. Absolutely.
Get out of here.
Absolutely. Next, what's trending? Thanksgiving Day games. Three of them.
That's a little bit better now, maybe, because of the Drew Lock.
A little bit better. And we did get a text. Speaking of, if you're just now joining in with us on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, Drew Nixon and myself, Mac Morey, and for Cody and Gold with you for the next 2 hours. Tommy DeVito is not making the trip with the New York Giants. I did just get a text from the 816. DeVito's expected to fly to Dallas by himself. He's not been ruled out yet. So there you go. Still a chance for Tommy Cutlets to get in there and play under center. We'll see. I would imagine if he can play, they'd play him. But it is weird he's not making the trip. We'll see. The game's tomorrow. That is the midday game, I believe, 3 in the afternoon here, KC time, Drew. That first game, though, I think is fun. Bears at Lions.
Bears at Lions is good.
And we'll talk about these matchups later on this segment, so we can get to them as well. But I think it's fun.
Packers-Dolphins.
Dolphins at Packers. Huge one for Miami.
I am going to be honest. sorry, that game's not the Giants-Cowboys game, not going to be on my TV screen.
That's fair.
I will be watching college basketball.
I will be eating.
Or I'm not going to be eating. Or I'm not going to be watching anything.
Yeah, I will be eating and drinking and hanging out, probably. That is what I will be doing. And Dolphins at Packers, that game, you know, it seemed okay for me from the get-go. Now I will be locked in because let me tell you what, Kansas City Chiefs fans, we're all huge Green Bay Packers fans. Let's go. Chiefs win on Friday.
As am I.
Dolphins lose. Chiefs are in the playoffs. They have locked a playoff spot mathematically. Dolphins lose. Chiefs win. That's it. That's all we need. So, yeah, let's get Jordan Love. Let's get those Green Bay Packers a win tomorrow night and get the Chiefs a win on Red Friday, which is also Black Friday.
Lastly, on what's trending, I don't know if you guys saw this, Daniel Jones is on the Vikings now. He wanted to go to a team that has got a quarterback-friendly offense, a good head coach.
Yep. Great decision.
Not a bad option even for the Vikings, because if Sam Darnold goes down, at least Daniel Jones has got some starts under his belt, and you can have a shot at trying to make something up of this rather than going to, I don't know, Nate Mullins or whoever else is there. That is what's trending on Cody and Gold. Jefferson's is the official lunch partner of 96.5 The Fan. Catch every game at Jefferson's, from the blocked field goals to the incredible catches. Witness every moment at a restaurant that's proudly local. Visit Jefferson's in Lenexa or in North KC. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters. You love yourself some Justin Herbert.
I thank you. Dave, that's a beautiful segue. I do. That's my guy. Herbert.
Hold on. You're a Chiefs fan, but Herbert's my guy?
I mean,
he's your guy?
Patrick LeVon Mahomes II is obviously my guy. He's all of our guys. He's the man.
Yes.
Let's go. He's the man. He's a great. But outside of Kansas City Chiefs quarterbacks, Carson Wentz also my guy.
There we go.
Come on.
There we go.
Got to represent. Yeah, I think Herbert is up there. You know, Josh Allen, to kind of hit close to home for some fans. Josh Allen is another one of my guys, but Herbert, man. This is after the Harbaugh Bowl on Monday night. Quentin Johnston drops three straight passes. He drops them all. Two of which were on third down, one of which really kind of lost them their chances at winning that game. It was a massive, massive drop. And you can never point to one guy, but damn, if there was one guy you're going to point to, Quentin Johnston, man, he was rough. It ruined the chances for them. And this is what their franchise quarterback, Justin Herbert, has to say about it after the game.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the tough part about the NFL. You know, he's a playmaker. He's done an incredible job all year, and you never want to see that. And just like when I throw an interception or when I miss a throw, he's going to come up to me and tell me, hey, it's next play, and that's the way it is. And, you know, everyone in that locker room is professionals, and Q will do a great job. I can give him better, you know, better placement, better balls, and you know, it's on all of us. It's not just on him. It's on me for the way I got to deliver him the ball. I got to make sure that we're all on the same page. But he's an incredible player, and you know, we're gonna keep throwing him the ball.
I mean, dude,
what a guy!
I mean, this guy—that's an A+. We were grading coaching staff. We're grading, you know, press conference responses. A+++. That is exactly what you say. You know, I could do better too. You know, it's like when I make mistakes, like when I make an interception. People come up to me and say, you got this. That's what I do to him. We're going to keep throwing
to
him.
That's what leaders are supposed to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lift your guys up. We're not straying away from him. We're going to look right back to him. I'm going to throw Q the ball every time. I could have had better placement on some of those balls. Yeah, my ass, Herbert. Those were beautiful passes. That's okay, though. You're supposed to say that. That's what a guy does. And to me, this is a reflection on Jim Harbaugh as well and what he's done to change this team, change this culture.
Yep.
I mean, it is so evident. And I think Cody said it on Tuesday. When you guys were talking about the game, it was just my short time that I get to listen when I'm not working. And I catch some of the podcasts as well. Well, you guys should too on the Odyssey app. He said the only difference in that game was talent. That was the only difference. That was all Harbaugh was trying to fight back was talent. It wasn't his coaching competency or his IQ or his intelligence or his ability to coach a winning football team. They just were much less talented than that Baltimore team. And they still gave them a run for their money near the end of that game. They were still in that game. This is a team that's here to stay. The Chargers are here to stay, and they're the offseason warriors. They're the offseason champions. I think for this time, this offseason, though, will be real. This is a team that's on the come.
From the 785, this person, what they texted, and I actually thought, while Justin Herbert was saying, while you were playing that piece of audio,
yeah,
and I was thinking, man, this guy's a really good leader. What would Aaron Rodgers have said? That exact thought went through my head.
That's it. Well, yeah, what would he have said? He would have thrown him under the bus. He would have said that guy sucks. He would have made some snarky comment, some egotistical, narcissistic.
You and Alex, I think. I know that like a lot of people don't. I think I have a little bit more care for Aaron Rodgers than most people because my grandparents lived in Madison, Wisconsin.
Gotcha.
Huge Packer fans.
Gotcha.
I enjoy watching Aaron Rodgers play. I get why people don't care for him very much. You and Alex Gold, are you dislike Aaron Rodgers the most?
All of our Fesco and Dusty crew, Bob, Dusty, and I, we actually have a rule. Since it's not 6 to 10, I'm allowed to say his name. We don't even refer to him as his name.
Oh, he's nameless.
He's nameless. Peter Baelish. He is.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Must have said something totally opposite. I will say this. As much as Justin Herbert is a great leader, as much as he has been a solid quarterback, as good as he is in taking responsibility, he's not a top 10 quarterback. And that's fine.
Jeez, man.
It sounds like shade, but I'm honest. He's not a top 10 quarterback.
So what does he have to do?
I don't know what more he has. I don't know.
He wins a playoff game this year. Let's say he beats Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. I think it'd be more likely. Let's say he beats Houston. In Houston or Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. What do you think then?
If they're the 7th seed and they beat Buffalo on the road, he's the top 10 quarterback.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
If they beat,
he already is, but that's okay. Probably the 6th best or 5th best.
If they're the 5 seed and they're playing the Ravens, if he beats the Ravens, answers back again. I don't know if he's a top 10 quarterback. I think somebody from the 816 is about right. He needs to win a division title. I think, I don't know if he needs to win a division title.
Come on,
Mac, hang on, hang with me. I don't know if he has to win a division title as much as it can't be week 18 of the season and the Chiefs once again get to sit everybody because the division's been over for 3 weeks.
I get it.
He needs to be in the running for the division.
He's 26.
Like for God's sake, I think, please, the rest of the NFL is begging anybody to try to make it interesting in the AFC West, which it's better. I don't consider him top 10, though. And you and I ran through the list on After Hours before.
We have. We've done this.
And I think some of it has to do with the playoff game. Some of it also has to do with, like, he's able to make plays, but it doesn't come across as this is what Herbert does. Like, he'll have really good games. Against the Bengals, that's an outlier, in my opinion, because the Bengals suck on defense. Offensively, they haven't been that great this year. They hadn't played very many good teams this year anyways.
Yeah, they just had a soft schedule. The offense has been really efficient.
To your point, I think it takes them going in on the road to somebody who's a big-time opponent. I think it would honestly take them going... If they beat the Kansas City Chiefs this year, and he goes... Because the game is in Kansas City, correct? The next one?
Mm-hmm.
If he comes here...
December 8th.
In Kansas City.
Football.
And goes in to Arrowhead Stadium and rips the heart out of the Chiefs' defense... Late in a game and wins, I'm going to give my respect to Justin Herbert. Do I think that's going to happen? Absolutely not.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's anything to do with Justin Herbert. And maybe I think it is a little bit. Like he doesn't have that he doesn't have that killer mentality. Lamar Jackson has got that. I'm going to make this play to win the game. Herbert doesn't give me the persona of. He didn't have that dog in him, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Josh Allen has that dog in him.
Oh, jeez.
Patrick Mahomes has that dog in him. Joe Burrow has that dog in him. Lamar Jackson has that dog in him. I don't know if Herbert has that dog in him.
What is going on? What? Okay, 2,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, 1 interception, 63% completion. That is with Ladd McConkey as your number one and the aforementioned drop king, Quentin Johnston. As your 1 and 2 wide receivers, and then a blocking tight end, Will Disley, as your tight end one. That's who this guy's working with. I mean, come on. I think we've got to give some grace to the talent.
Hang on.
He needs some talent.
I understand that this maybe is a bad comparison, but do you know what Patrick Mahomes did last year with that offense?
Different. Anomaly.
No, I don't.
Anomaly. And Brandon Staley versus Andy Reid. And now he's got Harbaugh.
Sure.
Let's see. And to be fair, he is lifting a cast up right now. 14 touchdowns and a pick.
But who have they played, Mac?
They have not.
Who have they played?
They have not beaten anyone great yet. I will give you that. They haven't played anyone great.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they finished last in the AFC West last year, correct?
Is that true?
Or the Broncos last? The Broncos
are
last,
I think. No, you might be right. I'll double check you real quick, but carry on. You need to know for this take.
I need to know.
Chargers were last. Yeah, you're right.
They're playing a last place. They're playing a last place. They're playing a last place schedule. If next year, Mac, if the Chargers go 11-6 and they're challenging for the AFC West And Justin Herbert is in the conversation for MVP. If he's in the conversation of, hey, through 10 games, this guy's actually playing really good football right here. It's not one game here, one game there. If it's a consistent 5-6 game stretch, forget the MVP thing. If it's a 5 or 6 game stretch of, man, this man is turning up. He is going nuts. He is great. He's a top 10 quarterback. But we haven't gotten that. We've seen sample sizes. Like, he throws ropes every now and then. He makes really good plays every now and then. They haven't played anybody this year. I need to see them in a big game when it matters most this year and next year. Like, I'm not convinced that he's that. He doesn't. I think ultimately it is that he doesn't have that dog in him.
Yeah, I think that's what it is too. I think I could pull out analytics and stats and say, but where's the dog?
Doesn't look zoned in and focused, but he needs to have that dog in him where he's like, I'm going to go and rip your throat out. Like, I'm going to go for the gusto.
To me, I agree with you until this year. Like, that has changed to me. Like, I see it in his eyes now. I think Harbaugh has put that dog in
him. I think Harbaugh has helped
him. He's running now from the 7-8-5. Herbert just can't run like Lamar Mahomes and Allen. Listen, fine. No one can run like Lamar and Allen. Herbert is becoming a locomotive when he gets going. He's 6'5", 6'6", and he's got some athleticism. I like him.
More like Lab McConkey broke out that dog in him. Lab McConkey, man, is big time.
He's very good. He's a great wide receiver, too.
I'll be honest. I was wanting, if I was the Chief.
I know, me too.
The Chiefs should have taken him. I know Xavier Worthy's great. The Chiefs should have taken Lab McConkey. But anyways, neither here nor there. Who's better, Josh Allen or prime Cam Newton? As we're just bouncing around topics now. Cam Newton. Prime Cam Newton.
Justin Herbert.
No. Josh Allen. Hold on. You said Justin Herbert is better than prime Cam Newton?
Prime Cam Newton had one season, brother. He won MVP. Oh, he had one season, Drew.
Yo.
Prime is one. So if you're taking peak, so I guess just the peak season, sure. But if you're taking a prime, Cam Newton's prime was 1 year, man. He had one awesome, awesome season. Not to say that he didn't have other good seasons. He did. But his good seasons were just that. They were good. I think Herbert is 26, and he will have multiple great seasons. I'm not a Cam Newton guy, dude. I like my quarterbacks to be able to throw the ball and complete, you know, over 60% of their passes pretty consistently. That MVP season was great, but no, I would say, yeah, I like that. It was Josh Allen or Cam Newton. Yeah, Josh Allen, it's not even close. Josh Allen's going to be a top 10 quarterback of all time. 913. From the 660, Tua is better than Herbert. That is not true. And this has now turned into a...
Hold on. If Josh Allen does not win a Super Bowl, is he still top 10?
He's going. That's me saying that he's going to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just my belief in Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's incredible. He'd have multiple rings if it weren't for Mahomes. Mahomes does exist. There will be a time. Sorry, text line. And that's just the way I think about quarterbacks. We're so in this recency bias, living in the now, and I get it, and it's all fun. These guys are 28, 29 years old. We've got another 8, 9, 10 years of watching these quarterbacks play. To say Josh Allen won't beat Mahomes once in the playoffs and have a chance at a ring, I'm sorry. That's crazy to me. 10 all more right. seasons.
So we obviously have a lot of good NFL games.
Are you getting out of this?
Well, no, I don't know. I feel like we could keep on going.
No, that's fair.
I don't understand how you still would take Herbert over prime Cam Newton. I still think, I understand it's one season, but Justin Herbert hadn't had that season yet, so I'm taking Cam Newton right now. But anyways, there are some good games this weekend, including, you know, the...
yeah, they are, man.
The Chargers have a big one on the road against the Atlanta Falcons, but... we're going to look at all of these games here, Mac. Which ones stand out to you the most, I guess, just to try to get to some of the big ones, and we're going to pick them as well. You can pick along with us, 913-586-7965. What are some big ones, Mac? I mean, that you said was huge as we were going through the rundown.
There's one that sticks out to me above all the rest, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. I mean, this is the bird battle of the birds right here. One of them, and number 2 team in the NFC, number 3 team probably in the AFC, as far as I know, not standings, but as far as just level of team. I mean, these are 2 top 5 teams in the league taking each other on. 4 elite running backs in this game, man. 4 elite running backs. You get that dig?
Yeah.
You like that?
I like that dig?
Just kidding.
Saquon, by the way, is entering the MVP chat. Slowly but surely.
Slowly who but is? Jalen? Saquon. Oh,
Saquon.
He is. The MVP award sucks, man.
I understand he's not going to win it and all that other stuff. I think the Eagles win.
You got Eagles in that game? Okay.
I agree. I'm going to tend to pick against the Ravens, I think, as long as the defense stinks. And I know that they just...
Yeah.
I know that they didn't beat the Chargers, but as long as the defense still stinks in the way that they do, if they play a good team like Philly, and the Eagles are in that conversation where they've got top 10 offense and top 10 defense right now, give me the Eagles in that one.
Yeah, I like that too. I'm there with you. From the 816, I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, in my opinion. Fair enough. Hot take, but hey, that's a good hot take.
A little hot, but it's understandable.
It is. There are reasons to have that belief. And I think we'll probably get to see a showdown of it in the playoffs, 816. We'll see if you're right.
Cardinals-Vikings. This one's interesting.
Is this what you got? Okay. I like this. This is fun.
It stands out because the Cardinals, you and I both think, are making the playoffs.
Yep. We do have them. Three seed. Both of us have them as.
But I wonder, just in terms of them playing the Vikings and all this stuff, is this a game where they potentially slip up and all of a sudden the NFC West, if Seattle, who has not necessarily an easier game, no game is technically easy in the NFL, as we saw last week with the Chiefs and Panthers, but they have the Jets on the road. This is an interesting game that maybe could separate things a little bit more in the NFC West here. I think the Cardinals... I think they lose, but I still think there's enough for them to rebound and go ahead from here to make the playoffs. But I do wonder a little bit more about my pick. And just this weekend being one of those key games, even with six games left, it's one of those you circle in the calendar, Mac.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned that the playoff implications in this are big. We both got the Cardinals in the playoffs winning that division. They're tied at 6-5 right now with the Seahawks. Seahawks lose, Cardinals get a win, all of a sudden they're a game up. We'll see what happens with the Rams and Niners, who are already a game back. And then, yeah, like the Vikings 9-2, we love to talk about the Lions. Vikings are a game back. The Vikings are legitimately a game back from Detroit. Mm. They will play each other again. So there is that chance for Minnesota. So a lot on the line for them, too. I like that game.
Someone from the 785. Well, it's not going to be Mac Jones. It'll be Daniel Jones. Vikings are going to lose Darnold to appendicitis or something, and then Daniel Jones will take him to the Super Bowl. Can you? No, that. I'm going to be honest. If Daniel Jones makes it to the Super Bowl, he didn't even need to win. When they're doing media, he needs to say, you know what? I'm very thankful for the New York Giants. Thank you for...
Yes.
Thank you. I am so appreciative of you guys.
Yeah, letting me
now
walk.
Look at me now, baby. Another game that stands out. I think I know what Chiefs fans would want. Bengals hosting the Steelers. Must win for the Bengals. You guys rooting for the Steelers?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, get the Bengals out would be my take there, because at this point, the Steelers losing last weekend to the Browns.
Stick a fork in them, finally.
Yeah, the Steelers losing last weekend to the Browns helped that race for the one seed. Doesn't feel like they're a huge threat a couple games back. Pittsburgh has a tough schedule. Yeah, I'd root for Pittsburgh, though, as a Chiefs fan. Another game that I'm eyeing right now, and this may be a funny one to be eyeing here, Drew, and some people will be like, really, this game? The Tennessee Titans taking on the Washington Commanders.
We've got a little bit
of a skid over there in the nation's capital, in Washington. A little bit of a skid. Three-game losing streak right now for those Commandos.
Titans have looked better.
And the Titans have looked better. Will Levis, out of those four quarterbacks drafted last season, Will Levis has the best QBR in the month of November. He has played...
Hold on. Out of the division?
Out of the quarter, so C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and who was the other one? Bryce Young. He has, out of those four.
Oh, okay.
Out of those four drafted in that class.
Okay, that's right. I thought you were saying division, but yes.
No. Just as far as that QB class last season, he has the best QBR in the month of November. He has been looking better. And the Titans defense has been feisty all season. We saw it against the Colts. Yeah. They are feisty. They've got a good front four. They can get after the quarterback. Chidobe Awuzie. They've got... Amani Hooker, Snead's out right now, but they still got some dogs back there in the secondary, a rookie at linebacker who I really like out of Nebraska. I think this is a better than advertised Tennessee Titans team taking on a Washington team that really needs this win. I think it'll be fun.
As much as I clown the Titans, and my dad's a Titans fan, so if he's listening, shout out to my pops.
Yep, shout out to Mr. Nixon, absolutely.
I would watch that game to see the one Will Levis play
yes.
that we enjoy seeing. The Titans did win.
They won.
They did win last week, but when Will Levis threw that pick, and he just lowered his head, I was like, oh, crap, here we go again, and just started running. Like he's given us a lot of moments. I almost don't want the Titans to take a quarterback. I almost want him to take Travis Hunter, Mac, and just be like, you know what? We're going to have Will Levis one more bad season, and we're just going to deal with it, and then we're going to pick Avery Johnson or whoever the heck is like the top quarterback prospect next year. I want to see more Will Levis.
I love it.
Because he gives us those funny moments.
You certainly don't know what's going to happen next when he's on the field, that's for sure. Yeah, Washington Commanders, or Titans at Commanders, mine.
Are there any other ones? I mean, the Niners at Bills is conceivably good on paper,
but
it's not as... If we just said at the beginning of the season, heck yes, circle that one on the calendar. But now I don't think it's as enticing. It's similar to when the Chiefs played the Niners earlier in the year.
You're right. That is similar. A good one to me. I'll be watching 49ers at Bills. We'll all be San Francisco fans for sure. For that game, Chargers at Atlanta. Falcons coming off of a bye. The Chargers on a short week, just having lost to Baltimore on Monday. So Atlanta at home, off a bye, taking on the Chargers after a short week and a loss. That's a game that all of a sudden, oh no, the Chargers are in a skid. Maybe they're not making the playoffs. All of a sudden, we start to talk about that sort of scenario. Broncos moving up the ladder. So that's something that I'm looking at too. Is Atlanta for real? How inconsistent have they been? My God, can they show up after a bye and make things get kind of a get right game against what is a better than average defense in the Chargers? That's one that I'm watching too.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting.
So a lot going on this weekend in the NFL. We've got a lot going on the next hour and a half of this show. And again, we will be talking Chiefs. We'll be talking midseason awards coming up next. And of course, we've got a random question of the day and our guy Kramer joining us for the last hour, cause we got fan club today on a Thanksgiving Eve. You're listening to Cody and Gold, Mac Morey in for Alex Gold, Drew Nixon in for Cody Tapp and himself producing, doing a double dip. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. 12:36 here on Cody and Gold. Mac Morey in for Alex Gold, Drew Nixon in for Cody Tapp. He's also producing the damn show. Jefferson's is the official lunch partner.
I got that dog in me.
He's got that dog in him. Double duty. Jefferson's, the official lunch partner of 96.5 The Fan. Catch every game at Jefferson's. From the blocked field goals to the incredible catches, witness every moment of a restaurant that's proudly local. Visit Jefferson's in Lenexa or in North Kansas City. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, and oysters. Man. This show is flying 2.5 hours down already. 913-586-7965 is the text line to be a part of the conversation. We've been talking playoffs. We've talked some Justin Herbert. We did our What's Trending. We did our Chiefs Red Half Hour. We've talked playoff teams and college football playoff teams. And we'll get back to some college football. We'll obviously talk more Chiefs the rest of the day. We do have fan club with our guy Kramer coming on as well. Right now, sticking to some NFL content for you. Also, we're going to talk some Thanksgiving, what we're thankful for, and leftovers and food, and such a fun week ahead. So we want to make sure we hit all of that fun stuff as well and get out of the nitty-gritty of the sports world, which I think we could probably do this segment. After some awards, maybe we'll talk some Thanksgiving stuff with you guys. Again, 913-586-7965. Right now, talking mid-season awards for the NFL. MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year. A lot of hype, a lot of conversation, a lot of debate. Drew, where are you at? What do you want to start with? Do we want to start with the big ol' MVP?
Sure, why not?
Let's do it.
All right, so my MVP is Josh Allen.
Same here.
I know that Saquon is back in the mix. I know Lamar Jackson has been very, very good. But I just think Josh Allen's kind of been the cream of the crop still. Him being able to me, it's the lack of turnovers that has really been the selling point. I know that the Bills have been very good. We know that they're very good. They traditionally are very good. Josh Allen traditionally puts up numbers. It's the lack of mistakes that he's been making, which has been very impressive to me. That's why I think I have Josh Allen, plus they're the higher seed than the Ravens right now. That also is the tiebreaker, in my opinion. I like Josh Allen as MVP right now.
Yep. It's crazy that he hasn't gotten the award yet. It's not a crime.
It is crazy.
It is crazy to think about it. But it's just, you know, Lamar Jackson, 2 amazing seasons. Mahomes, 2 amazing seasons.
His biggest accolade is a Madden cover.
That's literally it, man. One AFC Championship game appearance where he absolutely got blown out. That is it. He's been a part of some bad, bad beats, including 13 seconds. But this MVP could be his first biggest accolade, one of which of many, I think, for Josh Allen, who, again, I consider to be, when it's all said and done, will end up being a top 10 quarterback of all time. Who's your coach of the year?
I like Kevin O'Connell.
Nice. KOC.
I think I don't even know if it's part of like, I don't know if it's part of the whole they have Sam Darnold thing and it's a quarterback that has not succeeded anywhere else and he has brought him into his system and Sam Darnold has flourished in the system. They still got JJ, of course. They still have Jordan Addison. TJ Hawkinson's back. Aaron Jones has been great, has a second wind of life in his career. Brian Flores also, I think, is a big part of why the Vikings are good. But I think Kevin O'Connell being the sorcerer supreme in this example and how good they've been. He said they're only a game back of the Lions. Everybody loves Dan Campbell. What if the Vikings all of a sudden find a way to slide in there, and maybe it's one of those things that it's a tiebreaker and the Lions get the one seed instead, or they win the division instead. But I think Kevin O'Connell's in that conversation. It should be because of Sam Darnold and his success that he's had in Kevin O'Connell's offense.
I love it. I love that take. Do you know that meme of it's like a girl in a cubicle, like a little animation comic, and one guy walks in with his, you know, suit and tie on, you know, he's fit, and he says something, you know, like, Lions, 10-1, Dan Campbell, coach of the year. She's like, oh my gosh, yay. And then the next frame is like, Vikings, 9-2, Kevin O'Connell winning with Sam Darnold. And she's like, call HR. Oh my gosh. That's this meme exactly, because it's like, hey, whoa, what are you doing? This is amazing what KOSU's doing with Minnesota. They're getting no love. Meanwhile, Dan Campbell and the Lions are God's gift to the earth. They're one game better. They will play each other again. We'll see. Obviously, the Lions, and Drew would say this too, are a better team than the Vikings, but it doesn't take away how impressive Kevin O'Connell's been.
And that's the type of award that it is.
Exactly.
It's an overachieving award. Even for MVP, it's an overachieving award. Otherwise, it would be the same people every single time.
For me, Coach of the Year, obviously, to preface this, I should have prefaced this before we started this. I hate all of these awards. These awards make me upset.
Okay.
They make me mad because... like the MVP to me, Josh Allen, yes, that's fine. Saquon should be considered. He won't be. Coach of the Year, Andy Reid's Coach of the Year to me. He's not even in consideration. He's 7th or 8th down the list.
Correct.
But that's not the way this award works, so I'm going to preface that before we get all the Andy Reid texts.
I do think as well, I think Mike Tomlin's the second-best coach in the NFL.
That's fine.
I know what he's doing is crazy, but I think Kevin O'Connell, I just think Kevin O'Connell's done a little bit better than in terms of the overachieving.
I agree.
Like you said.
Well, dude, that Thursday night football game against the Browns, I know it was snowing and everything. Mike Tomlin was bad.
Yeah, yep.
Clock management, play calling, too conservative, too non-conservative. It was really weird. He's done that a couple of weeks this year. So, no, I'm totally fine with Kevin O'Connell. For me, it is Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
We mentioned it. The Chargers, 5 wins last season. He's going to carry them to what I believe is going to be a double-digit win season right now at 7 wins. Again, I think he's just completely changed the culture and everything going on in that building.
Confidence with Justin Herbert as well.
Absolutely.
You mentioned, yeah.
Absolutely. I think he's invigorated some new stuff in Justin Herbert, and that defense has been turned around. He just gets these guys back to fundamentals and like, okay, let's get back to the basics. Let's not think about everything else. Let's just get to playing some good football. And he's got them doing that in just one short season.
From the 660, Dan Quinn, I think.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, yes. Now they're 7-5.
Yeah.
He's fallen off the the board.
Now, if he can turn this back around, get them off of this skid, get a good win against Tennessee, a bad team at home, then we'll be talking maybe a little bit more.
Who's your rookie of the year, Matt?
You're gonna make me do it. I was gonna have you do it.
I am gonna.
I was gonna
do
have
it.
You do that. It comes with much pain for me to say this, but the rookie of the year is Bo Nix.
You can't even.
It's Bo Nix. It's Bo Nix. He's the rookie of the year. Bo Nix. Fine. There it is. There's his name. Clearly said. He's the rookie of the year. I can't hide it anymore statistically. And they're winning games. He's got the stats. He looks the part. I will say this, and I want to get this take out here with you, Drew, okay?
Okay.
And we'll have Kramer, our guy, on for
you
for
guys are both Bo Nix haters.
We're both Bo Nix haters, and rightfully so. We've got legitimate reasons to back it up. I said before the draft that Bo Nix is not a first-round pick. He's a great second string. He's a great stopgap starter. He's I'll come in the middle of your season. I'll get you to that 8 or 9 or 10, maybe 10 game win mark, but I can't help you in the playoffs. I can't do anything when it really matters. He's a guy who can come in. He's a good person. He probably is great in the film room. Very coachable.
Yeah.
This is not a franchise guy. This is not a top 10 overall pick. You are seeing the ceiling of Bo Nix this season.
So I think he is a franchise guy, but he's not a good franchise guy. He's not an elite franchise guy. Like, I think, and maybe this is a good thing for the Chiefs, is you're going to have to deal with Bo Nix for a while, and maybe that's a good thing, is you're going to get this, you're going to be maybe a little bit better than this, but it's not going to be much better than what Bo Nix has given over the last few weeks. I agree with you. I think Bo Nix right now has surpassed Jaden Daniels, at least for the time being, in regards to that. Offensive player of the year, this almost always goes to the guy who should have been MVP, but actually isn't.
That's so
MVP.
True.
And I got Saquon as the guy, offensive player of the year, because he's been ridiculously good. Single-handedly, 302, I think, total yards the other day?
Yeah.
It was insane. He's jumping over guys backwards. Madden's changing things up. he is really, really, really good. And I think it's also good to see, too, because, you know, for the casual fan or for somebody who doesn't have much skin in the game for the Giants or the Eagles or whatever, it's nice to see a guy that's had some health problems be able to recover and not have anything, knock on wood for Saquon.
Yeah, seriously.
He's been great this season. He hasn't had any health problems. Hopefully it stays that way for him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't even think there's an argument right now. Derrick Henry's the one guy who you could try and sell me on a few weeks ago. Okay. It would have been Derrick Henry. Right now, it's not. It's Saquon. Still worthy to change. Still up to change. That is not set in stone by any means. Defensive player of the year. Speaking of set in stone, seems like the DPOY is pretty set in stone when we looked at the odds, Drew.
Yeah.
TJ Watt.
Is that guy.
He is, man.
That's who you're taking?
He's plus, I think, what did I say? Plus 125. Second best odds is Will Anderson, plus 1,100. That gap is the same from second to 10th as it is from first to second as far as odds are concerned.
That's my guy. I'm going to take Will Anderson.
Oh, okay. So you are going to take TJ or Will Anderson at plus 1,100. Okay.
Yep. He has 9.5 sacks. He's
looked great.
Daniel Hunter, by the way, has 10.5. A little bit underrated there. Daniel Hunter has got more sacks than Will
Anderson.
That's
amazing. I think he's fourth in the odds.
If I wanted to be that guy, I would say Trey Hendrickson. Because, again, as I said before, the Bengals have 19 total sacks. Trey Hendrickson leads the league with 11.5 of them.
That's nuts.
As crazy as that is. Real quick, offensive player of the year, I do feel a little bit ashamed. How about Jamar Chase, Drew? Come on, that's your man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I was curious.
Jamar Chase, I do think that they've both been extremely elite. I think Saquon...
he's third, by the way. A big gap, but he's third.
Jamar's third behind Saquon and Derrick Henry?
Yes.
I think that Jamar's in the conversation. I do think the fact that Joe Burrow has been so good is part of the reason why. And I know that Jalen Hurts is part of the reason why Saquon's been so good as well. But again, maybe I just favor the record aspect of it. And
I think that's part of it, man.
And the Eagles are where they are.
I think that's a part of it. Now,
I know the Bengals would. I mean, if the Bengals didn't have Joe Burrow or Jamar Chase, they'd be 0-11 right now, or whatever the heck their record is. They'd be 0-12, whatever. But I think the record trumps everything regarding that conversation, or it trumps everything else. And Saquon is my offensive player of the year. But yeah, Jamar Chase is there.
Jamar Chase is there. He's at 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. The touchdowns are insane.
He has been the best wide receiver in football this year.
He's been incredible.
Which is why they're going to have to pay him.
Six more games left, I believe. Yes, yeah, more games left for Cincinnati. So you think 1,056 yards. Let's say he has... Let's say he gets to 1,850. He's got 12 touchdowns. Let's say he gets 5 in the next 6 weeks. 17 touchdowns, 1,800 yards. That's a conversation.
Yeah.
It's a conversation, man. That's a damn good season. That's an incredible season.
He's at 1,500 now. I mean, if he gets to 2,000, that's...
Yeah, he doesn't have 200. He doesn't have 1,500 right now.
Oh, I thought you said he has 1,500.
He's 1,056.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
in the next 6 weeks, you think over 100, okay. Over 100 a week? You think?
I think 15 to 1,700 is realistic.
That's more realistic, exactly. Yeah. And that to me,
definitely
that,
not
that's
2,
not
000,
as, that's not eye, as eye popping as no. Saquon's stats are going to be.
Correct.
And that's what these awards are. That's kind of why these awards suck, but that's what these awards are. And I think Saquon is one of the anomalies that actually really does deserve this. Right now, just under 1,400 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns. You think in the next, 6 weeks, he's going to be near 2,000 yards rushing.
Jamar Chase has been saving fantasy teams this year, though, from the text line. They saved this person from the 660. They had been saving Cody's until the Bengals went on a bye, and he got chopped this week.
Yeah, man.
From our guillotine league, but yeah.
I mean, shoot, Barkley, Henry, Jamar Chase, all those guys are probably winning some fantasy games for sure.
To the point of the 949, Barkley's had about 7 touchdowns from him taken away by being tackled at the 1, and then Jalen Hurts just does the tush push. So yeah. Think of how many more touchdowns you would just give to the running back. Like if it were the Lions, David Montgomery or Jameer Gibbs is getting those.
That's true. No, and if it would just be Saquon, if without... No, that's exactly right. If it was Mariota in for Jalen Hurts right now, he'd have way more touchdowns. There's no question. And it seems like it will be Saquon Barkley, again, knocking on wood, that he and Henry can both just stay healthy for the rest of the year. Man, they're fun to watch. Transitioning from football...
You just want to get to the random question here? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going. Is that good?
I think so.
Let's do our random question of the day.
Random question.
How long... Is that was great. I love that.
Yeah, the first time we played, it was like, okay.
I love it. How long can you do leftovers for Thanksgiving? We all are going to feast tomorrow. It's going to be fantastic. I'm sure some of us will even have I'm not counting that night where you pull them out of the fridge and have that 11 o'clock. I've had a bottle of Pinot and I'm ready for the second serving of turkey and
you
stuffing.
You mean like Friday?
That Friday. How long is it good? Because I know Friday we're all turkey sandwiches and stuffing, and it's going to be fantastic. But is it Sunday? Is it Monday?
I was going to say football weekend, like you get through Sunday, or I think by the time Sunday hits, though, you're like, do I want this again?
Like, yeah, it's true.
I think there's part of that where I think Saturday is like the last day, and then Sunday, if you really need to, like, that might be the very last day is Sunday. But traditionally, Saturday is the last day where it's like, okay, we're going to finish all this up today and get rid of it.
913-586-7965. How long is long enough for the Thanksgiving leftovers? When does it surpass the point of no return? From the 816, it's 48 hours for me, and then it's got to go, but I will be hitting them hard. Yeah, it's from the 660, about 3 days. See, that's where, yeah, so about what you're saying, Drew. So
are you in the same boat, like the weekend, or are you longer? Or are you shorter?
I guess, okay.
It sounds like you're definitely not in the all weekend thing, the all weekend category.
I guess it depends on what it is that's left over.
That's a fair. If we're going to dig deep a little
if
bit,
we're
yeah,
digging deep, I think because
that's fair.
Like, are you telling me if I've got a lot of turkey left on Monday, I can't eat a turkey sandwich again? Like, no,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, but are you tired of it? Like if you've had a turkey sandwich for...
Yeah.
If you've had turkey for theoretically what would be 4 days in a row, like, I think you're... You just mean like as a snack, or you mean like you're sitting down and you're eating the turkey and
yeah,
then
you're...
Then
right.
You're
You're right. I say this now, but come Monday, I'm like, turkey sandwich? Get that out of my face.
Yeah, like, it doesn't sound good.
From the 480, stays in there until it gets moldy.
Oh, so you're keeping the turkey around for a while then.
A while. Okay.
Are you a turkey person by the way? Actually, you know what? We'll save that for...
Cause oh, yeah. We're going to get into all of that.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
We'll get into all
sorry.
That.
Teaser for you.
That is a teaser. Absolutely. From the 620, I give all leftovers 7 days.
Okay.
Fat week there. That's a long time. I'm not against it though. I'm not against it. 913, until it's gone, warm turkey sandwich with Miracle Whip. Oh, learning something different today. Drew's wincing. I don't hate it.
To me, okay, so
I'll give it a try.
I don't know why I the reason I wince is because I just the way that I picture like the turkey for Thanksgiving on a sandwich with Miracle Whip. Absolutely not. Like deli meat turkey or whatever, sure. Like thinly sliced, great. I guess, you know, it is technically the same thing. But if you're thinking like a slice of turkey that you made for Thanksgiving with some Miracle Whip on it, I'll pass.
I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot, text line. From the 816, I hate choosing what I want to eat, and this is the best days because turkey's the best meat. Okay, so we know what in relation to your teaser earlier, Drew, we know where the 816 lies on the turkey.
Do you like dry things?
I'm okay with them, yeah.
Are your hands like lotioned up, you know? Do you like your hands dry too?
Turkey's not that dry, man. It's fine.
I used to. I like turkey still. I do.
And again, we'll get into. I've not had cranberry. We'll get into that too. I'm going to try
You've
that.
Never
this
had
year.
Cranberry.
I think I've had it when I was a kid, and I was just like, "Ew, what's
I've
this
had
for?"
It and I don't care for it. It's not as. It's not up to what people say it is.
Well, I will come back with a full report on cranberry because I guess I just didn't realize that the combo, cranberry and the turkey and the cranberry turkey and stuffing, and you can even add some mashed potatoes. You can get a bunch going on in the fork. I feel like I was limiting myself this year. Absolutely not.
One of my wife's favorite things on Thanksgiving is cranberry sauce.
It's cranberry sauce. Well, yeah, no, Bob and Dusty swear by it. Coming out of the can, Dusty keeps making the noise that it makes when it comes out of the can, which I don't need him to keep doing.
Wait.
That noise.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's lovely.
Light,
thank
like,
you.
Like the suction
right,
cup noise.
Yes, right into the microphone. I love it. 816, can we all agree Duke's Mayo is the best mayo? Not passionate about the subject, but do like the Duke's Mayo Bowl, so sure.
Yeah. Someone said there's no leftovers for them after Thanksgiving. I have 4 grown boys, so they...
Oh.
Y'all go to town.
Damn, 816. Got me and my brothers here, plus more people. I think we'll still have some leftovers, but I love that. That's impressive. That's impressive. We'll talk some more Thanksgiving.
I do think... I don't want to say real quick. I don't know if this is a hot take. It might be. The leftovers are as the leftovers might be in terms of like the fresh food. Like there's nothing like Thanksgiving leftovers. Like they might be, they're as good as the actual thing. Like some leftovers are like, it's serviceable. And like Thanksgiving
it might be better. Thanksgiving
leftovers, bang. Like, they it might be better.
It might be better.
It might actually be better.
No, like, that night or that next day for lunch, like, it almost is better than the original thing. It's
you're sitting back and watching that Chiefs game, and you get a spread together.
Bro.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's going to be fantastic. After this, going to Bob's house, picking up my turkey from him for that, from Smokehouse Barbecue.
Nice.
So I'm excited to have my smoked turkey from Smokehouse Barbecue.
Fantastic.
So excited about that. Cannot wait. So if you need your turkey, you're still panicking, they may still have them. Go find out. But
they want you to make the noise again. The can noise.
All right. That'll be it. And then...
Up next.
That'll do it. We've got our fan club coming up next with Kramer. We've got you for another hour. It's Drew Nixon in for Cody Tapp and myself, Mac Morian, for Alex Gold on Cody and Gold for the next hour. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.